All right, John, I'm going to do it. I didn't do it before the wild card game, and I didn't do it before the Giants series.
Okay.
But I'm ready. Straight to the title.
Yeah, you're crazy. Atlanta is a real team. As a matter of fact, I think Atlanta should be favored tomorrow because the Dodgers are coming off of this emotional
win. Why are you
kidding
me, Max Scherzer tomorrow?
Right, but he pitched last night. I think
they
Atlanta
threw 13 pitches.
Can you imagine, though, if Atlanta loses game one?
Oh.
Like, the Dodgers flew all the way across the country after this emotional win. A pitcher who pitched 2 days ago and the Dodgers win? Boy, that would take a lot of wind out of the sails of the Braves, wouldn't it?
Look, I think the Braves were the best opponent. I would have – it's better than facing Milwaukee and Brandon Woodruff and Corbin Burns. I liked facing Ian Anderson and Max Fried and Charlie Morton better than the Milwaukee rotation.
Isn't Max Fried kind of a beast?
He's really good. He's a young lefty, throws really well, threw great in the series with Milwaukee. But I don't know what the Dodgers have done against him. I haven't dug into all that stuff yet because this game just happened.
And
but
way,
I would
Acuna,
rather face Atlanta than Milwaukee.
Acuna's out for the year, right? No chance he could come
Acuna's
back?
Acuna's out for the year, and Jorge Soler, who's been a big part of their playoff run, is in COVID protocol. So we don't know if he's going to be able to play tomorrow or how long he might be out.
So Max Fried, by the way, has pitched against the Dodgers twice this year. 6 innings, 1 earned run in the first game. That was back in June. And then in September, he lost that game, but he gave up 2 earned runs in 6 innings as well,
so
with 9
good.
Strikeouts.
So he's been successful.
Been very successful, yes.
Okay, so we'll keep an eye on that. And by the way, because he's left-handed, they will need to, I assume, they'll flip out Bellinger and they'll flip out Gavin Lux, and Chris Taylor and A.J. Pollock and Albert Pujols will play. So you get the right-handers in there. And that lineup, I'm trying to think, did we win with that lineup when we faced in the DS?
Did we remember.
Win with the lineup with Pujols? I think we did.
With the game Alex Wood pitched? No,
we lost the Alex Wood game. That's
yeah,
right.
We lost.
We lost that game. All right.
Alex Wood.
Is that you?
That is Mace. That's back me. In the morning show.
Oh.
When he had
yeah, I don't know how you managed to keep that all these years, because that was years ago that I was complaining about Alex Wood.
Alex Wood.
Oh, God. I get a lot of them wrong. I'm telling you, I get a lot of them wrong.
Everybody does. Hey, by the way, the odds to win the World Series?
Yes.
All right. Dodgers are now the favorites. They kind of always were.
Yep.
They're 11-10. Astros 9-4. Red Sox 19-4. Braves 23-4. So the Braves are actually the biggest long shot of the four teams left, and the Dodgers are the favorite.
And in terms of correct series result in Vegas, if you wanted to bet an exact series result, the Dodgers 4-1 is viewed by Vegas as the most likely scenario. The Dodgers 4-2 is considered to be the second best Dodgers
scenario. I think if it's
scenario.
Dodgers-Astros, it's 6 or 7 for sure.
Oh, for sure. Oh, can you imagine? Can you imagine going – going back to that
level of booze that will rain down at Dodger Stadium if it's Dodgers Astros.
Unprecedented.
Will be fantastic.
Trash cans, booing. It's going to be awesome.
See, I want the Red Sox, though. I want to see Kike Hernandez and Alex Verdugo again.
Oh, come on.
I don't want to see the Astros. Why are we legitimizing them? Please, stop this.
We're not legitimizing them. We're going
to
hammer them.
No, I don't want to see them. They do not get to go to the World Series.
What we're about is
no
fun.
Cake for you.
What would be more fun? Beating the Astros. There you go.
I don't want to see it. No thanks.
Vindication.
Nope.
That's what I'm talking about. All right, let's hit the phones here. A lot of people want to react. Let's go to Renee in Ontario. Renee, you're on 710. How you doing?
Yeah, hi, guys. Listen, yesterday I kept on hearing these fans, you know, Dodger fans, you know, about the move that, you know, the Dodgers did. And, you know, we forgot about one person here, Dave Roberts. I mean, this dude doesn't get enough, you know, credit. And I just don't understand why we don't give him more and more credit. But, my God, you know, we need to start trusting his decisions. And
Renee?
As far as I'm concerned, he's doing well. Yes, sir.
You know that that wasn't Dave Roberts' decision.
That well, was, no, there were Dave it, Roberts' Steve. Decisions in there.
Yeah, but what no, he didn't come up with that idea to start Corey Knebel. That came from up top.
Well, I mean, but still, I mean, even if it wasn't, come on, we still don't even talk about how great a coach this guy is. I mean, we always want him to do the worst, then we get to pick on him, and then instead of praising him when he does good things.
Yep.
I mean, and let's go back to, you know, to Cody Bellinger. That dude, I mean, God, he was having such a rough time. We were writing that boy off. And then all of a sudden, you know, he just stuck it, and he just waited, and he got his chance, and he was so happy that he got that hit. I know I was.
I know. But, I loved his.
Anyway, I'm just going.
Yeah, Renee, I loved his reaction, Bellinger's reaction. If when he was running to first base after he got that single, he just looked into the dugout like, how do you like me now?
Yep.
I've done nothing all year, and I finally showed up. I'm just so happy for the guy.
I know. And even in front of the Giants, even in front of the Giants was even sweeter. You know, was even better, you know, and Steve, you gotta keep doing exactly what you're doing, and your hunches seem to be pretty darn well, pretty darn good every time you pick this situation. So, you know, props to you. And then one last thing, if I can.
Yep.
Just based upon the Raiders, I know it's all Dodgers, but Raiders situation with John Gruden. Then, you know, my wife had said, well, what do you think about this? Is that after that loss, I think he's gone. But I think the front line, the offensive line, just let up on him because they
really
knew the situations. And that's what I feel. And Derek Carr was getting killed in that game. I don't know if you guys ever – if you got to see that game, or maybe you can see it, you know, on YouTube or something.
Right.
But he was getting killed, man. And I don't know. But anyway, guys,
all right,
been listening
thanks
to you a
boy,
long
that's
time,
interesting,
and love you
Mace.
Guys.
Well, okay, thanks, Renee.
Thanks, man.
Call.
Appreciate it, Renee.
I wonder if – I don't think that's true, what Renee is suggesting, but do you think the Raider players could have been so mad at John Gruden that they mailed it in?
Well, I'm sure that they lost focus, right?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe that's a better way of putting it.
I wouldn't say mailed it in, but lost focus because of the unbelievable distraction that this was.
Yeah, I don't think professional athletes ever intentionally tank.
No, no. But losing focus because of a distraction is different, and I would say that's potentially what happened.
Yeah, and now it'll be interesting to see what they look like moving forward. Because, you know, one weird thing that happened – this was, you know, the guy who enabled John Gruden in every way was Mark Davis, the owner. And I found it, as a Raider fan, I found it, I'm trying to think of the right word, disheartening that Mark Davis said nothing this week. I mean, if you listen to, like, Brandon Staley, the Charger coach.
Sure.
He said something that was, like, really smart and really timely. Like, I thought Derek Carr came off great. I think some of the other Raider players that talked this week came off really smart. What Mark Davis says nothing. And somebody got to him and he said, ask the NFL. They have all the answers. As if to say, it's the NFL's fault that you hired a bigot. It just seems like a time for an owner to step up and take control of his franchise. And Davis didn't do it.
He said very little comment. Now, Amy Trask has talked about it.
Well, she doesn't work there anymore.
Oh, really?
She hasn't worked there for 5 years.
I thought she was the president of the organization. I heard her on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
She works for CBS. Amy Trask hasn't been there for years. But, you know, that's what she gets paid to do now, is be an analyst. But I just thought Mark Davis dropped the ball on this thing. The Raiders are a franchise with kind of a proud history of being first with minority hires, with female hires. I didn't hear what Amy said. I'm sure she was complimentary of their legacy.
Yes.
Because she benefited from it. She was the
sure.
first female CEO of an NFL team. But Tom Flores was the first Hispanic coach. Art Schell was the first black head coach in the modern NFL. And for John Gruden to come out and crap on everybody, on black players, on gay people, on women – And for Mark Davis not to come out and say, hey, we're going to get this right. We have a long history of doing the right thing here. I just thought it was kind of – is cowardly the right word?
Yeah, I think it is. It's certainly not being proactive. It's not being part of the solution. He is the spokesperson for the entire team and the entire organization.
When he's the one who turned the franchise over to Gruden.
Now, he didn't necessarily know, although, did he know? Did he know this was who John Gruden is? Did everybody know who this is John Gruden?
I don't know. I didn't, but...
No, I didn't, but I'm talking about the people that worked with him. If you were an assistant coach, did you hear this language on a regular basis? If you were Mark Davis, did you have conversations where John Gruden, where he said this kind of stuff? I think that's one of the weird angles in all this is... Who was actually with John Gruden and heard him saying things like this? Because this is who he is. And why didn't anybody say to John Gruden, hey, John, you can't use that language anymore. Hey, John, you've got a locker room filled with African-American players and with a gay player. And, we've got you can't talk about women like that. Why didn't anybody say that to John Gruden along the way? Because that language was not isolated to those emails. That's how John Gruden talked.
Well, by the way, Mace, the part of the issue is because and this extends past just football. This is how people in all walks of industry get away with this crap. The reason is because Gruden was in a position to hire and fire people. For example, he started Sean McVay's career. And McVay said the other day, he goes, the John Gruden I know wasn't like that. But even if he was, even if Gruden was talking that way around Sean was a young coach trying to work his way up. It is, you know, I thought Brandon Staley from the Chargers nailed this the other day. He basically said, somebody asked Staley what he thought about the Gruden thing. And, you know, Staley comes technically from this tree because he's a McVay guy. So here's how Gruden got into the league. Gruden and Andy, these are all Mike Holmgren guys. Okay,
right.
So Mike Holmgren started a tree that included Andy Reid and John Gruden and Ray Rhodes, all these guys that were in Green Bay.
Yep.
And then those guys all branched out, Gruden, Reid, and they started trees. Okay. And so McVay's like a descendant of how that all started. And Gruden gave him a huge break when he hired him as a quality control coach in the beginning. But even if Gruden was talking like that, what the younger guys who are now head coaches, all these young guys who have worked their way up, really weren't in a position to point it out or say something about it. Just like you know, we work for ESPN. If there was somebody really high up the chain,
yep,
who had a ton of power, who was like this, we couldn't call them out because we'd be fired over it.
Sure.
You know, and so that's absolute power corrupts this way.
Yeah.
You know, And it just, I think that it's a problem for, I don't know if anybody could have stopped it, I guess is what I'm getting at.
But I would imagine there are people that weren't surprised by those emails.
Oh, yeah. No, like Jason Lockenfour wrote the other day that this is who Gruden's been like the whole time. And he said Bruce Allen's been like this. And, you know, so a lot of people kind of knew. But
yep,
they weren't able to, you know, to for lack of... It's the same thing with Harvey Weinstein. Everybody knew about Harvey Weinstein for years.
Yep.
But he had so much power, nobody could bring him down.
Yeah, yeah.
What brought him down was the actual written word, the emails.
Yep.
You know, it seems to me that was... and, you know, one thing that Staley said the other day was he hopes, and I thought this was really poignant, he hopes that people realize, particularly people in the groups that Gruden targeted.
Yep.
In other words, that women and minority and black guys like D. Smith and gay people like Carl Nassib, He hopes that they realize that there are a lot more people on the opposite side of Gruden than there are with him. Because to me, that seemed like, you know, the perfect thing to say. But I thought it should have come from Mark Davis.
Yeah, you know, Mark Davis made a short statement that really didn't address anything, right?
Well, and when he was found, when a reporter found him, he basically said, hey, why don't you go, if you're looking for answers, why don't you go ask the NFL? They have all the answers.
Right.
Like, almost to suggest that if the NFL didn't find these emails in the investigation, that he could have kept Gruden. I don't think that's what he meant, but that seemed to be the sentiment of it.
I still think the rest of the story is those 650,000 emails and whether or not the NFL Players Association gets access to them, because those could very those could very well indicate that there are other people with this kind of thinking, and it may be the reason why more African-American coaches have not landed as head coaches in organizations. So I think it's really important that those emails get reviewed
by
the NFLPA.
And so before we break, because we've got to go to break here, I want you to listen to Brandon Staley. This runs about a little less than a minute.
Okay.
When he was asked what he thought about Gruden, I think this is what a leader sounds like. Here's Brandon Staley, the coach of the Chargers.
I think that respect and trust in this world are really, really difficult to achieve. And I think about all the people that were affected by those emails. Whether you're a person of color, whether you're a person, a gender, your sexual orientation, the people that were affected by those emails, that's who I'm thinking about. You know, because it's a sacred mantle for someone to call you coach or someone to call you a leader. And trust is really, really hard to achieve in this world. It's really, really challenging to achieve. And especially with people, with those groups that I just mentioned. All right, and people are really guarded, all right, and they're skeptical of people because of emails like that. And I just think that, you know, kindness and lifting people up and respecting people you don't know, I just think that, you know, that's such a big part of our thing here, is listening to people and learning about people, because I think what you'll discover is that we have so much more in common than not. And I think that, you know, for someone like me, you know, it's just incumbent upon you to set the example every single day so that people that were, you know, talked about in those emails, that they don't need to feel that way. They shouldn't feel that way. And it's, you know, hopefully, you know, all of us can learn from this, that it's about bringing people together for me, so that people can become, you know, the people that they dream about. And I think that, you know, for me, you know, leading this football team and being someone, hopefully we can, you know, be a light for those people in those emails, that not everybody's like that, that there's far more people that will love you than the opposite. And hopefully this will be a chance for everybody to come together instead of go apart.
Perfectly said.
Right. Perfectly That's a guy who gets it.
Absolutely. All right. Coming up next for you, let's get back to this game, huh? 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 2-1 last night. Dodgers went. You know what? The opener thing, everybody hated. Everybody hated.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. It absolutely worked. And I want to say something about Julio Diaz when we come back next, because Jorge mentioned something to me off the air. It's actually Jorge's point. And I want to get to that coming up next for you. Plus more of your calls, 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-ESPN. It is a celebration Friday. It's an effort Friday. The Dodgers advance to the NLCS against Atlanta tomorrow. It'll be Max Scherzer versus Max Fried. Mason in Ireland, 710-ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, we have advanced to the NLCS against Atlanta, and I'm doing it straight to the title.
Yeah, I think Atlanta's a real team.
They are a real team. We're going to beat them 4-2. We're going to beat them 4-2. I can feel it. I feel it. In Vegas, that's the second best series outcome in terms of betting. 4-2, and I will take that. Jorge said something interesting. Of course, last night was a very unusual game because we had Corey Knable open the game as an opener, then Brewster Graterol, and then Julio Urías came in and gave us four really good innings. And what did you say, Jorge?
I said Julio Urías is like a Swiss Army knife. He can close. He can start. He can take the bulk of the game. And what was the other one?
Close.
And relieve.
Open the game,
and he's a
start.
Reliever.
And he's a reliever.
He's
exactly.
A reliever. Yeah.
So yeah, you can really pitch him at any point of the game.
And that's this is one of the things. Now, you want to talk about Dave Roberts' job. Dave Roberts' job, and a lot of this stuff comes from the front office, but in terms of his helping to manage egos, he's the guy that had to go to Julio Urías and say, Julio, we're not going to start you. We're going to use you in this unexpected, unique role. And I need you. You can be this guy. That's what Dave Roberts' job really is. It's managing the people in that locker room, the players in that locker room. And that is a very underrated skill.
I think, too, that the fact that Urías pulled it off now gives him confidence that they could do it again if they needed to.
Right.
I still don't think they would do it to Scherzer or Buehler or if he was healthy.
No, because those guys can't handle it. Julio can. Those guys, it's a compliment to Julio that he's able to do it.
Yeah, but I don't think he likes it. I think he does it because they asked him to. Yeah, I mean, it'd be the same thing. You wouldn't like it if you have this. You have like the Scherzer Kershaw ego. If they told you, we want you to come off the bench,
yeah,
we want you to, you know, you wouldn't like it. But for Urías, he accepted it. So good for him.
Although I'll tell you what, when I was struggling with that cold, the day that you talked first and last on every segment,
yeah,
I was fine being the B. Or well, as we call the two, the reactor.
Yeah, but you that's because you were not feeling good. If you're 100%, and Julio was, he wanted the ball. You know those guys, those starters all like, give me the ball, I want
sure.
it, blah, blah, blah. But none of it really matters if you win. And they won. And so it's impossible now to criticize those guys for that thing because it worked. Now, it wasn't like perfect. Knable gave up two pretty hard hit balls. Graterol let somebody on. But it worked. And if
it
works, they get the last laugh.
Yeah, and Julio was great in his role last night, was great in his role. And then who would have thought they would turn over Trinan, Kenley in the eighth. By the way, both the closers were on in the eighth. Doval was in the eighth for the Giants, and Kenley was in the eighth for the Dodgers. Of course, Doval gave up the single to Cody Bellinger that put the Dodgers ahead. And then they both went to starters. Kevin Gausman and Max Scherzer each threw the ninth inning. And, of course, Max got the save in that game last night. And we'll get the ball for game one against the Braves tomorrow. So John, you know that over the years I've done a great Batman impression.
The best.
I'm known for my Batman impression. Now, I do a Christian Bale Batman impression. I'm Batman. That's how I do the Batman impression. And I think we can all agree that that is an excellent impression of Christian Bale doing Batman.
Mm-hmm. I'm Batman.
That's what he does. That's what he mm-hmm. does. Are we in agreement? How do we vote on that?
It sounds like you should be doing, what's it, Fast and Furious.
Yeah, and by the way, it needs to be more than a two-word impression. That two words is not, you're basically doing the, you know what you're doing? You're doing the guy from the Lego movie being Batman.
Oh, you're Lego Batman.
Oh, Lego Batman, hey.
Yeah, that's what you sound like.
Well, that's the key to the whole role is to be able to say I'm Batman. So we've actually lined this up. First of all, we've got Michael Keaton, because there's a new Batman coming out. We've got Michael Keaton in his style of saying, I'm Batman.
I'm Batman.
So he's got a very subtle I'm Batman. Now here is Christian Bale.
I'm Batman.
I'm Batman. And now there's a new Batman. The Batman is the name of the movie. And Robert Pattinson, the guy from the movie with the vampires and the witches or whatever the hell that was. What was that thing he did?
Twilight.
Vampires
Twilight.
And witches. Twilight, yeah, there you go. So he's the new Batman, and we're going to hear for the first time how he says I'm Batman. Hit it, Jorge.
It's not just a signal. It's a warning.
That's well, he didn't say I'm Batman.
That's all he says. He never
That's
says.
All. Okay, listen to it one more
That's
time.
That's the teaser, yeah.
It's not just a signal. It's a warning.
Everybody
so it's all,
does.
I guess the trick is you just whisper.
I'm Batman.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, it, by the way, I like the Batman movies. I watched them all up to a certain point.
When did you stop?
When I think the last one I saw was Heath Ledger's Joker.
That was Dark Knight Rises.
That's you ended on
last,
a good one. So
yeah, that was the that's the ultimate Batman movie.
But haven't there only been like three since then?
Yeah, I mean, he's in the DC universe, so they messed him up with Ben Affleck. That was terrible. Dark Knight Rises, by the way, the third in the Nolan trilogy, I thought
like
was only okay.
It's like the same thing with Star Wars. I watched the first six Star Wars movies, but I haven't seen, I think there have been five or six since then, and I haven't seen any of them.
They've gotten really, for me, they've gotten really good. Bergman hates them. I love the whole Kylo Ren arc. You hated it, the one with Daisy Ridley and
Adam Driver, right?
Little whiny Kylo Ren. It was terrible.
And those great fight sequences that were like...
They were not great.
They were like ballet.
They were ballet. They were like the sharks and the jets.
And then The Mandalorian is fantastic.
Yeah, it's just too much of a, you know, of a good thing. You can go to the well too many times, you know?
This new one I'm excited for. I love Batman movies. Now, we'll see. Like, I hate now the old Joel Schumacher Batman movies with, like, Schwarzenegger as Captain Ice or whatever the hell he was.
Mr. Freeze.
And Danny DeVito was, like, the Penguin. And all that stuff was all cheesy. Christopher Nolan played it all like it was real. Like, the Joker was a real person. Heath Ledger played a guy who was absolutely nuts, as opposed to sort of comic booky. Like Jack Nicholson was fantastic as the Joker, but I will take the Heath Ledger Joker every time of the week. And by the way, the Jared Leto Joker is not too bad.
Not bad. What about Joaquin Phoenix? How about that?
Oh, Joaquin Phoenix. Yeah, Joaquin Phoenix was an unbelievable Joker. So two times guys have won the Oscar for playing the Joker. And Nicholson was nominated for Best Supporting Actor for the Joker. So it's just a role that everybody wants to play, and I'm sure he's going to come back in this new series, this new arc of the Batman. By the way, I saw No Time to Die, the new James Bond movie.
Oh, what'd you think?
I liked it a lot. I thought it was really, really cool. It has a really surprising ending that I will not give away in any way, shape, or form on the show. I thought this Lea Seydoux, this French actress, was excellent. I thought that Rami Malek was great as the villain. Christoph Waltz made an appearance in that thing. I thought it was really, really good. So it's still in theaters. You have to see it on the big screen. It's best on the big screen because there's a lot of spectacular sequences. But if you're not comfortable with going to a movie theater, and I've been going, and I'm still okay with it. But if you're not comfortable, I'm sure it will stream soon. It's not streaming yet. But No Time to Die, I strongly recommend. All right, coming up next for you, we'll circle back to the big story of the day, which is the Dodgers beating the Giants last night in a dramatic game at Oracle Park. And I think a lot of you people, and I'm talking to you, who questioned, particularly, Twitter is not real life, but Twitter hated the Corey Knebel opener. And John, you said... You were really angry on our group text last night, and yep. I have some of what you said.
Yeah, I mean, I wanted him out as soon as he – well, you said on the show, if he lets two guys on, get him out. But he did, and they left him in, and he got away with it.
All right, so you were very angry on our group text last night, so I want to read some of that stuff. Plus your calls, 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-ESPN. And don't forget, Jump Ball is coming up for you at 2:45 today, Mason and Ireland, 710-ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Yeah, Dodgers win last night, 2-1 at Oracle Park, an absolutely instant classic. Instant classic, dramatic game from beginning to end. The Dodgers go with the opener. Who would have thought the order would go Knebel, Gratterall, Julio for four, Trinan for one, Kenley for one, and then Max Scherzer for the save. The opener strategy absolutely worked. The Giants, best team in baseball at getting platoon advantages, and Gabe Kapler did adjust his lineup somewhat for Knebel, which gave the Dodgers better matchups at the end for Blake Trinan, Kenley Jansen, and Max Scherzer. The opener strategy worked. It's not just about throwing out a pitcher at the beginning. It was about throwing out right-handed pitchers and making Scherzer burn his lefties so that we saw more righty-righty matchups late in the game. That's the real advantage of doing an opener, using an opener. Now, I understand there's been a guy online for a really long time, and I feel bad about it. Mark in West Hills is here. Mark, you're on 710. What are you doing, man?
I'm just driving home from work. I appreciate you taking my call. Two things. One, I know you mentioned earlier, but I'm really looking forward to a Dodger-dominated series.
Yes.
Playing against Jock and then going against Doogie and Kike would be awesome because it just shows the amazing farm system that the Dodgers have. But I really love the karma of last night because back on July 22nd, we had a horrible no-call on a definite swing by Ruff on
right,
our last game against the San Francisco Giants. And if we win that game, we win the division, and that last game is at home.
So what goes around comes around.
Karma is a you-know-what.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Hey, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate you. Appreciate you waiting. Who's the other one that's been waiting
Jason.
A long time?
Jason.
Jason in the Valley. Jason, you're on 710. What's up?
So I've got a theory about why Max Scherzer came in.
Okay.
So 10 years ago, I played club baseball. We had a player who decided to join our team, and we wanted to keep him. But a very similar situation happened. He was a pitcher. He got pulled when we all felt that he shouldn't. So I think it was a little retribution saying, hey, I'm sorry about the seventh. We'll put you in at the end because we want to keep you next year with a new contract. So we'll pitch you again tomorrow as well.
I think you're probably connecting dots that aren't there. But I wouldn't mind. I'd love to see the Dodgers re-sign him, even if they don't beat the Braves.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't really want to get into the, what happens if, but I mean, there are, you know, there's Seager and there's Chris Taylor and there's Max Scherzer and we've got guys that are going to be up in the air in terms of whether or not they're going to come back. But we can, that conversation can hold because we got this group together for right now to win our back-to-back championship. By the way,
yeah,
I tweeted
in that way, they're kind of like the Lakers.
John, I went back and looked at our group text. And
I'm just reading them right now. I now believe after reading, I started this whole group text yesterday.
Yes.
After Mookie Betts got a single in the first inning, I wrote steal here. And Bergman wrote agreed. And then they grounded into a double play and I called them all idiots.
Yes.
Then later I wrote, man, Knebel is throwing batting practice. Gratterall is up. And Jorge writes, okay, how long will Knebel go? Another inning? I write, done. Take him out now. Later, you suggested it's too early to take him out. And I responded to you, Mace, too early? You know this is one game, right? It's too late, if anything. Knebel almost gave up two home runs. Then you said, no, you like them bringing in Gratterall.
Yep.
Which I responded, what is wrong with you? You don't treat a game like this as an experiment. This is bordering on baseball malpractice. And you point out they've used a ton of openers. This isn't unusual for them. And I wrote, they haven't done it to Urias all year. And you wrote, so far it makes sense to me. To which I responded simply three words.
Yep.
Are you stoned?
And of course, I will acknowledge right now that I was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here's the interesting thing about using cannabis. For me, when you use cannabis, you can only focus on one thing. I can't multitask. I can't think about anything but what is in front of me. So it allows me to go deep into a baseball game and to ignore the rest of the world. So that's why I use it. And you ask me if I'm stoned. Just always assume that I am.
Yeah.
You can go on that assumption.
Later you wrote, I actually like these announcers. They're pretty good. That's rare for you.
They grew on me after a while. I thought Ron Darling did a good job and Brian Anderson did a good job of explaining exactly what the Dodgers were doing and why.
And then it's a string of texts from Jorge and Greg explaining to you how to turn off the FaceTime you started fighting.
So what happened was,
hit the red X button. You say you somehow dropped a pin, which I don't know how you did.
So let me tell you what happened. So there I am. We're on this group text, and you were calling the game, so you couldn't really be part of the group text.
Yeah, I kind of dropped out once the Laker game started.
So all of a sudden, I pick up the phone, and there is Greg, and there is Jorge. They're on my phone. And I'm like, hey, why are you guys calling me right now? Why are you FaceTiming me? And they said, no, you're FaceTiming us. And so we had a quick chat, and then I thought I hung up. And then eventually Bergman said, you know you're still on FaceTime. And so I had to turn the phone completely off to end it because I had no idea how to end that conversation. But it was – I still don't know what I did.
That was funny, man. That was funny.
At some point, you called me a Dodgers apologist, John.
Yes, when you kept supporting their asinine plan to use two openers.
And how did that go?
It worked.
Yes.
Well, I think these texts are actually, as I look back on them now, all exactly what being a fan is all about. Like when Greg wrote in all capital letters the F word. That must have been after the home run.
Yeah,
it was absolutely after
the Darren Ruff home run.
At the end, I was commenting on, I don't think he swung, but you guys didn't care.
See, I could not have cared less. By the way, there's an angle going around. Now, you'll laugh at it. There's an angle going around that suggests that maybe he did go.
I shared it to Lisa, who's not really a baseball fan, my wife, and she says she thinks he went.
Did you see the tweet that's got the different angle? Because it does look like...
I've looked at it from like five different angles. He didn't swing.
Did not swing. There's no chance he swung. Let's just be honest.
Live by the swing, die by the swing. That's what I'm saying. That's it. Right. That's the take.
I still say, look what I just retweeted and tell me if it doesn't change your mind. Now, I still don't think it was the right call, but it was much closer than... It looked.
Oh, yeah, that swing does, wow, that swing does look like he crossed, and if that was the umpire's view.
That doesn't look like it crossed.
No, it sure does, Greg.
It sure does.
It does. The very front. The question you need to ask is, if the bat hit the ball, would it go into fair territory? And that picture looks like it would have. Had that pitch hit that bat, Greg, it's fair.
So yeah, it would have been fair, but it has to. There's a plane that has to cross.
But
doesn't it look like he crossed the plane?
From that image, from that picture?
And
I know it's a weird angle. It looks like, but he didn't. I've looked at it a bunch of
times.
Yeah,
I mean, I wouldn't have called. I mean, in real time, I understood it. When I slowed it down, I didn't think he went. All right, coming up next for you is Jump Ball. It is a celebration day in Los Angeles as the Los Angeles Dodgers have advanced to the NLCS. Game one is tomorrow in Atlanta. It'll be Max Fried for the Braves versus Max Scherzer, who got the save last night for the Dodgers. Big weekend. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Thank you very much, Chris. All right, so I don't know how much you guys know about Pokemon cards. Probably not very much.
I'm not.
Yeah, you don't know nothing. I don't know anything about it either, to be honest.
Good. It sounds like a good question.
Yeah, good. But I do know they are extremely valuable, and people spend thousands of dollars for the good ones. Well, a woman on Twitter said that she has resorted to burning her son's Pokemon cards when he doesn't do basic things. And here are some examples. The basic stuff, she says, is eating. He comes home without having eaten any of his lunch. Card burnt. He doesn't eat enough dinner. Card burnt. Bear in mind, my kid is about 4'6", tall, and age 7, and yet weighs less than 55 pounds. He needs to put some weight on, specifically muscle. Seth Rogen saw it, responded with, "Save the valuable ones so they can pay for therapy when they're older." So what do you think? Is this too extreme?
Well, I don't understand why she just... I know this is a real problem with getting kids to try and eat.
I have the problem.
And
do you have this problem?
Yeah,
I
with my,
eat all
with
the
Riley.
Time.
No, with Riley.
No, no,
oh,
no.
With Riley.
Kids, 6-7-year-old kids a lot won't eat, and it's a real issue. But, Greg, I don't understand why she's burning the cards rather than just taking them away.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I would think, you know, just looking at what her objective here is, which is to get the kid to eat, you take the card away and you say, look, if you eat, I'll give you back not only this one, but the one I took from you last week, and maybe it works. Like, what you can do now, Greg, how old is Riley?
She's about to be 10.
Have you and her mom discussed getting her a phone yet?
Yeah, we're about to get her a phone, actually.
Because that's about the age. Once you do it, it is a great device for you to get her to do what you want. You'll see. Once she has it for a year and it's the only way she can communicate with her friends and it opens up a whole new world to her, just tell her, Riley, if you don't eat, I'm taking away your phone, and she'll eat like you won't believe.
Well, she has an iPad, so she kind of does all that stuff already.
Okay, but have you ever threatened to take away the iPad?
Oh, I take it away all the time. She's lost it right now.
Right. So I would imagine that probably gets you the desired result most of the time.
Yes,
it
does. Yes,
yeah,
it does.
So that's why I disagree with her Pokemon strategy. Because she's destroying something she could use as a device.
Yeah, I'm in agreement. I mean, as somebody who's never had kids, and somebody who, as a kid, ate absolutely everything, there was nothing that I wouldn't eat, and I ate a lot of it. I've told this story on the air before, but when I was a kid, the more I ate, the more I was viewed as a good boy. Like my grandmother would say, oh, Stevie had fourths. He's such a good boy. Which is exactly the
no
wrong
wonder
thing.
No wonder people from Ohio are all look like fat guys. That's
wrong
ridiculous.
Thing to tell your kid. Don't praise them for eating fourths. Yeah. But no, the Pokemon strategy, I guess, makes sense. I don't understand the value of Pokemon cards or anything like that. But it sounds like John's got the right idea. Once they have a phone becomes life and death. And I would imagine.
Oh, it's like you're taking away their arm. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, and but I imagine the kid will eat once they get to phone age.
All right, this one is probably more for Mace, but I don't know. He might surprise me, John.
Okay.
Lawrence Fishburne has played Morpheus in all of the Matrix movies up
yes.
until now. But the newest Matrix trailer has, help me if I get his name wrong, please, Yahya Abdul-Mateen II.
I don't know him.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
I don't know who that is.
Well,
either.
He's Morpheus, and he has come out and said that he will be playing a different iteration of the character. If you guys don't know who he is, then I probably should just skip the question.
I know who Morpheus is. I just don't know who this guy
right.
is.
Right. So I was going to say, do you like Mateen in the second of this
Well,
role?
I wonder why Lawrence Fishburne isn't coming back. He was a huge part of the three
Maybe
Matrix movies.
Possibly aged out of the role. I don't know.
Yeah,
they all are that kind of age.
They've all kind of aged out of these roles. I cannot wait, by the way. Do you know that John Wick 4 and The Matrix are scheduled to come out on the same day? It's like the Keanu Reeves day in movie history with two of gigantic movies coming out. I love Keanu Reeves movies. I think he's a visionary guy. I don't think The Matrix ever gets made without Keanu Reeves signing up for it. John Wick is the most entertaining action stuff that's on film today. I'm disappointed that Fishburne isn't in it because he was such a huge part of it, but I'm sure there was like a money thing, or maybe he did age out of the thing. But Matrix, next Memorial Day, cannot wait.
All right, Jorge, what you got?
Oh, man, I can't believe I'm going to do this, but I'm going to confess something to you guys.
These okay, good. Confessions.
So in the open, Chris said that this song by Anita Baker is from a morning show bit. And let me tell you how this bit came about.
Okay.
So we were looking for this song. Well, Chris had it in mind. He turns to me and he says, hey, Jorge, I need you to find Anita Baker. The first thing I start typing is, I need a baker.
I need a baker.
So he's like, what are you doing? How much time do I have to make this, you know, get this song? And I said, dude, we have 30 seconds. I need you to find Anita Baker. Do you not know who Anita Baker is? I'm like, apparently not, man. I'm typing in, I need a Baker. So apparently I don't. So then this is how this song came to be one of those bits in the morning show. But I just wanted to confess that because I told Greg and he was laughing. He's like, you got to say that on the air. And I'm like, okay.
I might be a bigger idiot than you, Jorge. This week, I mean, I take my dog to the vet on Monday. And I take my dog to the vet, and dogs know, man, as soon as I walk in there, she starts shaking.
Yeah.
She knows she does not want to be in there. And the doctor comes in, the vet comes in, and I'm trying to keep Reagan, my dog, to calm her down, and the doctor's working, and he's typing on a computer, and he's telling me stuff like, okay, we're going to get her some flea medication, and we're going to get her some other stuff, and he goes, oh, man, the mouse is dead.
What?
And I went, I'm in a vet. And I went, you've been working on a mouse? You just killed a mouse? And he goes, no, I'm typing on a computer, you idiot. This mouse is dead. It doesn't have any batteries. But I actually thought he meant, like, he had killed a mouse. He goes, no, I don't. He goes, that's an exotic animal. I don't know. I don't work on mouses.
Now, the crazy mice. Thing about Google is if you type in, I need a Baker, what comes up is Anita Baker.
There
really?
You go.
Yeah. Yeah. Look at that. If you type in, I need a Baker, Anita Baker comes up. So it absolutely worked. The great Anita Baker, great soul singer from Detroit, Michigan. She's a classic, so it's a great song. I Need a Baker is a great way to search for her.
All right. The NBA world has spent a lot of time talking about Ben Simmons and what he's going to do and if he's on the floor, blah, 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 whatever. But the more intriguing one to me is, and always has been really, Damian Lillard. Well, Shams Charania said, I'll tell you guys this, if you're not improved, he was talking on Stadium. He said, I'll tell you guys this, if they're not impressed under Chauncey Billups this year, they'll risk losing Damian Lillard long term. Do you believe there actually is a chance Dame leaves Portland?
Well, just say the history of the NBA. Look at James Harden, and the minute Houston looked like they couldn't compete anymore, he begged out. And you know, Anthony Davis in New Orleans. If these stars reach a certain age.
And they haven't won a championship.
Well, but more importantly, Mace, they don't think they can compete for a championship. A lot of them just punt and get out. Dwight Howard did it in Orlando. It's very, very common for players to jump ship if they think the front office doesn't prioritize winning. So I think Shams is actually making a fair point. Now, everything Dame has always said all the right things, and Portland's always made the playoffs. They finally moved on from Terry Stotts, their coach. They're going to give Chauncey a chance.
They'll probably name that the Damian Lillard Arena someday.
But I don't think that Neil O'Shea, who I like a lot, their GM, really improved the Blazers to the point where they can compete for a title in the West. Do you?
No, I guess they're counting on more from Nurkic, who was injured a lot last year. But no, I mean, they basically roll back with McCollum and Damian Lillard. Now, that team did go to the Western Conference Finals, right?
Two years ago? Before the Lakers won it, in 2019.
Yeah, 2019. Yeah. So they do have some horsepower, but Damian Lillard is on a four-year, $196 million contract. I mean, I think it's very possible that at the end of that deal, he looks somewhere else. Guys want to win
a
championship.
Your resume is not
complete without it.
What Greg's asking is, would he do it even sooner than that? Would he beg off after this year? And in the NBA, just being under contract doesn't necessarily mean you're tied to that team. We see guys force trades all the time. So it's certainly possible, Greg. I don't know. I'm not saying he'll do it. I think he's married to the Blazers for now.
He's very loyal to Portland, yeah.
Right. He's an unbelievable player, too, by the way.
Yeah.
All right, that can end it. Yeah, we're
all
pretty
right.
Late.
It's over. Thank you.
I need a Baker.
There's your jump ball for
Baker.
Today. I need a Baker. Woofed. It's another new expression on the show. Woofed. It's the Washington football team. They're the woofed. All right, so the Dodgers have advanced to the NLCS. They will face the Atlanta Braves. Now, remember, last year in the NLCS, we were down to the Braves 3-1 and played 3 elimination games and won. I think it's going to be easier this time. The Braves are going to be very, very tough. I mean, there are a lot of reasons to love the Braves. Freddie Freeman, I think, is, you know, is an automatic MVP candidate every single year. The rotation is going to be interesting. They're going to throw Freed. They're going to throw Charlie Morton. They're going to throw Ian Anderson. I'm not sure who they're going to throw in game four. Jorge Soler is on COVID protocol, so he may or may not be available during this series, or may or may not be available at least during game one tomorrow. But it all starts tomorrow night. What is your reaction to what we saw last night? An instant classic game, Dodgers-Giants at Oracle Park, 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-ESPN. At 3:30, we will do Lie of the Day. It is my lie today, and I will just tell you right now, it has not been told yet. It has not been told yet, so pay attention for the next half hour. At 3:30, you got a chance to win a Mason and Ireland t-shirt. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.